A Man's Guide to Dry Cleaning. Why should a man care about dry cleaning? When your expensive clothing is damaged or lost, what can you do? I'm sure many of you reading this have been burned when it comes to having a garment come back, missing buttons, torn, or in worst case scenario, doesn't come back at all. You may have purchased your suit for $2,000, but if it vanishes, you'll be lucky to see one-tenth of that. The key to preventing a loss is upfront preparation. And we'll discuss this below. Dry cleaning your clothing unnecessarily shortens the life of your garments. I've met men who dry clean their clothing once a week, others twice a year. When should you dry clean? And what are the effects of dry cleaning solvent on your suit's wool fibers? These are the details I'm going to get into. So let's go ahead and jump into it. What is dry cleaning? Dry cleaning is a cleaning process that uses a solvent called perchlorethine. I probably just tore that up, but that's the best I'm going to get. Or DF2000 to clean clothing. The perk, as it's often called in the industry, and how I'm going to be calling it through the rest of this audio reading, is run through the garment and then extracted along with dislodged oils, food, dust, and other unwanted dirt and particles. Since soap and water are not used in the process, it's called dry cleaning, even though it uses a wet solvent. The dry cleaning process starts when you drop your clothing off. First, it's tagged and then sorted by whether it needs to be dry cleaned, laundered, pressed, or altered. At this point, the clothing is often moved to another location. In fact, it's not uncommon for all of the dry cleaning cleaners in an area to use the same contractor or be owned by a few companies. This is why many cannot offer the same day service, because simply things are done off of their main facility. Also, despite two cleaners charging different prices for the same service, if they use the same master cleaning facility, you're receiving no added benefit despite paying more. I always look to use cleaners who do their work in-house. I like knowing my garments are kept right where I drop them off by the person I give them to. Now, I admit this is harder to find nowadays, and it's something you're going to have to look for. But if you can find it, and if they're running a good shop, then that, in my opinion, is the best of both worlds. So back to the process. After the drop-off, stains are pre-treated. Note, it's very important that you point out stains and label what the stain is so that it can be treated properly, and get it to the cleaners as soon as you can. So preferably the day after, at least, when the stain occurs, not 2 or 3 weeks after, because then by then the stain is really set into the material. Next, all the clothing is loaded into a large machine where it sits in baskets and rotates in the perk. The perk is then drained using centrifugal force, basically where something spins very quickly and it pulls the moisture out. Shirts and other cotton garments are often more simply laundered with water and soap. So even though you take a shirt to a dry cleaner, if they identify it as something that needs to be laundered, that's what they're going to do. Hopefully they don't just throw that stuff in with the perk, because you don't want perk to be used on cleaning most cotton garments. It's just not go, over time it can actually yellow the garment. A good cleaning facility will also inspect clothing for any remaining soiled spots and post-treat if necessary. Next, the clothing is lightly steamed, pressed, and ironed where applicable. Finally, garments are sorted out, shipped if necessary, and then stored for pickup. So as you can see, there's a lot of room for error there. Your clothing could be lost at any point in this. And this is why, starting off, the best thing and the first thing I always tell someone to ask is, does this suit or shirt really need to be dry cleaned? Most of us dry clean our delicate clothing way too much. More often than not, simply brushing your wool sports jacket and hanging it in a well-ventilated area will eliminate odors by light smoke or food and get rid of small debris that falls on it. If you spill food or drink on the garment, simply spot clean as is necessary by gently blotting the cup with cotton or a wool fabric or some type of clean water, and just run a little bit of water over it. Stains that require quick attention, such as mustard or red wine, especially on light colored clothing, such as especially silk fabrics, those should be taken to the cleaners the next morning. Silk fabrics, I don't like to, you know, tell anybody to do that in their home. Silk is very delicate and something you need to take to a cleaner who knows what they're doing. Actually, silk garments in general, I don't normally recommend for men. I'd rather go with a very lightweight cotton, which I think is more understated and elegant than a silk. But that's neither here nor there, because occasionally you do have ties, and ties do need to be taken in to professional tie cleaners, not necessarily a dry cleaner. But that's something I'll talk about a little bit later. So let's talk about immediate action after the spill. So change the garment if possible. Slip it off if it's not possible to change the garment and it's just something like a tie, or carry on as if it doesn't bother you. Maybe, you know, put the tie over to the side, button up the shirt. At the end of the day, though, when you get home, you want to avoid remedies like, you'll hear about club soda and salt, or try to, you know, all these things which people will maybe recommend. I would say be careful with that. A lot of that stuff, it's old wives' tales, and you're more likely to actually damage the fabric, especially if it's a fragile fabric like silk. How often should a person dry clean their wool clothing? There is no right answer to this question. An architect who wears a sports jacket to the job site in Orlando and is basically sweating in this jacket daily is going to need to take his stuff to the cleaners much more often than a computer engineer who wears the same jacket in the Bay Area in an air-conditioned building and rarely ever sweats in his garment. My guidance here is, when brushing, spot cleaning, and airing out no longer do the trick, take the wool garment into a quality cleaner and have them go ahead and take care of it there. This could be, you know, for one man, this could be once a month. Another man, this could be, you know, once a year, really. So dry clean when you must, not on a set schedule. Because at the end of the day, dry cleaning strips and weakens the wool fibers. So every time you dry clean, think about it, you only get so many dry cleanings with each garment. And every time you do it, you take a little bit of life out of that garment. Although, you know, that's garments aren't going to last forever. So I'm not saying to totally avoid dry cleaning and to wear filthy garments. But just be careful of overuse of the dry cleaner. So how should a man select a dry cleaner? Selecting a dry cleaner is very similar to selecting a tailor. When doing so, I've got 5 rules which are going to help you reduce the likelihood of disappointment at a dry cleaner's. So these 5 rules are, 1, what is their lost garment damage to clothing policy? This is important. Do they replace or give you a depreciated value as listed in the International Fabric Care Institute's Fair Claims Guide? What this means is that a 3-year-old custom suit bought for $2,000 can be argued by a cleaner to be only worth $200. And that's if you have all of your receipts and if you can take them to court, small claims court, and get this. Oftentimes, you won't get anything. I mean, they're going to actually say, you know, they're going to maybe, it is very difficult to get money from a cleaners. So was saving that $5 worth it versus taking it to somebody who basically will replace your garment at cost? And yes, there are places like this, but you're going to pay a premium because in a sense, you're buying a little bit of insurance. Are they clear on their pricing? Do they try the old bait and switch trick? And if so, what does this say about the integrity of the cleaner? Make sure to ask how much you'll be charged upon picking up your item. The lowest price guarantee that brought you into the store may only apply to one item, and even the listed prices may just be starting prices, not including extra costs applied to specialty garments. So what I'm talking about here is if you see somebody who's got the 99-cent dress shirt cleaning offer, which unfortunately for women usually is like $3 to $5 for almost the exact same thing. But they're going to get guys in the door and you give them your suits, you give them some other things, and you come back and you find out that you were charged twice as much as you would have been charged going to a reputable cleaner for your suits. And that's where they try to make up the money. And so you want to pay attention to those little bait and switch techniques. 3, how long have they been in business under their current name? So be wary of a cleaner that has changed ownership and names every few years. Because in the case that you do have an issue with a cleaner and you take them to court and you win, collecting on a judgment is notoriously difficult because unless they voluntarily pay up, you need to force a withdrawal. Dry cleaning businesses can often maintain multiple bank accounts under various names, and you may end up filing with a court a half dozen times for a sum that quickly becomes not worth the effort. Number four, what level of training do they have? When you hand the person behind the counter a silk shirt and ask for it to be laundered, you want someone behind the counter to suggest that the shirt should be carefully dry cleaned instead, since a harsh washing method, like a laundering, would destroy a silk shirt. Now, don't be afraid to ask about training and test their knowledge of the cleaning process. And that's the whole reason I wrote this, is so that you can go in as an informed person and make a decision. Now, I've had many people write me back saying that they asked a few questions and found out that their cleaner was, well, he didn't really know what they were doing. And you know, and then they write me back like, gosh, you know, now what do I do? But at the end of the day, I think it's better to be knowledgeable that your cleaner is in the dark and for you to spend a little bit more time finding a cleaner that is. And I've even got one, I know of one cleaner in Arizona that's really good in the Phoenix area. They have people send them clothing to be dry cleaned. They're so good. And it's one of those things that it may be worth it if you've just got a set of clothing that needs to be taken care of and you want to go to somebody who you can trust with your stuff. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I do have people that, you know, clients that have got $2,500, $3,000 suits and they want them taken care of. And so they will, it's worth them to actually FedEx these to some higher end cleaners versus using local ones that they feel don't know what they're doing. Number five. Are they environmentally friendly? So repeated exposure to large amounts of PERC can cause cancer in humans. I'm very pleased to see professionals in the industry, such as Jerry Posnack over at, he runs Jeeves over in New York City, and they use a lot of chemical-free cleaning processes that involve CO2. In addition to being friendly to the environment, it's a superior cleaning method to PERC. How to protect yourself in the case of lost or damaged clothing. Number one, do your homework. Do a Google search and locate any online reviews. What are other people saying about the dry cleaner and what happened when something went wrong? You want to find a cleaner and, you know, take those reviews with a grain of salt. Oftentimes people, if they get a great experience, they'll smile and move on. But if they have a bad experience, they're going to write all up about it. I have found many great cleaners who, let's say, only had one review and it was a negative one, but overall this person's offering a great service and they're just not pushing to get all the positive reviews in there. But pay attention to the cleaner who, whenever something bad happened, all of a sudden, you know, did nothing to help this person and really treated the person bad. And when you see a lot of these, you definitely want to have, you know, you want to be on your guard. Number two, maintain your records. Ensure that when you drop off your clothing, you receive a detailed receipt. It should have a legible description of what you dropped off, when it was dropped off, and who it was left with, and what you asked to be done. For most shops, this isn't standard and may be met with a frown, especially at rush hour. But without it, it's your word versus theirs if something goes wrong. And I'm not kidding. A lot of times you're going to drop something off and you'll get a receipt and you can't even read it. And it is inaccurate in terms of what you actually dropped off and what you needed done. You need to get this, you know, it's not your fault that they don't have a system to be able to give you an exact receipt when you're leaving something of high value with them. Number three, and the biggest, the most important thing is to foster a relationship of trust. The best way to protect yourself is to create a long-term relationship with a merchant that builds trust between both parties. The men and women in the dry cleaning industry are like anyone else. They will often bend over backwards for a customer that they like and is profitable for them. So you have to understand that the margins in this industry are paper thin, and many of these companies would go out of business if it wasn't for family members, you know, doing a lot of the work. However, they often realize the value of a long-term relationship, And it isn't going to be worth them losing you as a long-term customer who brings in hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of business for one single garment that goes wrong. So at the end of the day, look to form a relationship, know them by name, know everyone that works there, and treat them like human beings. And that's going to go a very long way in making sure you're taken care of whenever something goes wrong. This ends this section on A Man's Guide to Understanding the Dry Cleaning Process.